Kind of a great privilege to be here for the first time at the Union Church and to see some folks that we've met before and hadn't seen for a while and others we're meeting for the first time. We do thank the Lord for it. Turn your attention to a passage of Scripture in the 114th Psalm. Psalm 114. And I'm just going to read the first two verses to start out with. We'll come back, the Lord willing. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The world that we live in today is one in which we see things going on around us that even as God's people we can become caught up in the things, whether they be things we agree with or things we disagree with, and we can become sometimes overwrought with the troubles of the day. We can even sometimes get to a feeling of desperation. Oh, how God's people ought never to be there, but we do sometimes. Despairing, it seems, of the circumstances of our lives that seem to be going in a way that we don't appreciate and don't like. My mind was drawn over the past week or so to the plight of the children of Israel as they were down there in the land of bondage in Egypt. They weren't always in bondage. They didn't start out in bondage. They started out in a pretty good situation. God, I believe, had laid the path to make good on the promises that he had made to Abraham so many years before that. And as they went down to that land and began to go into that good land of Goshen, and they prospered, so much that they became a threat to Egypt, to those who were ruling there. And as they became that threat and the circumstances, the Bible says that a Pharaoh rose who, in my words, didn't remember Joseph. And as that happened then, the connection that was there between the goodness of God toward Egypt even, from this little band of people, Joseph being the head of the spear, they forgot those things and they began to oppress these people. They began to oppress them in such a way that they put them into hard labor. And I like to think sometimes about how that the children of Israel, God's dear children among them, began at first, no doubt, to labor and to begin to see the circumstances of their lives begin to turn to a way that was not pleasing to them and then began to be hard for them. And as they began, no doubt, God's dear children, I'm going to keep saying that because not all Israel is Israel, Brother Paul tells us, but God's dear children among Israel, I believe, began to be oppressed in soul and in spirit, not only in body and not only in circumstances. And as they did, there's no doubt in my mind that maybe like we are today, that they would come to the time and say, oh, what can we do? How can we come out from under this sore oppression that's here? And the answer was, there's nothing we can do. But one day, some of them began to remember, and then more began to remember. And they began to call out upon the Lord their God, the God of their fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And as they called out upon him, you know, the answer was not instantaneous. I believe their labors became much sorer, in fact, to the point that when Moses, God raised up Moses among them, and in the circumstances of all that, that the children of Israel, they were making bricks and they had straw and they made mud. And all of a sudden the Pharaoh said, I'll take your straw away from you. And you go make bricks anyhow. And if I remember, he increased the numbers. So they had prayed and yet the circumstances didn't get better. But oh, brothers and sisters, they were going to get better. They were going to come out of that place. And they were going to come out with a mighty hand, not their mighty hand, but God's mighty hand, was going to bring them out of that place. I have a hope for the church and the earth today. I have a hope for God's people today that as though we feel ourselves to be oppressed by the circumstances around us, that there's still a God in heaven whose desire is toward His people.
Amen.
Whose desire is toward His church. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you something. Don't let the few numbers that may be in your local assembly, don't let it discourage you to the point to where you say, well, we might as well give up. Have you ever been there, brethren? Have you ever been there? I've been there in my own mind, and I've been there where that I'd be among a little band of people, and I'd hear the discouragement in their hearts, and I'd hear the discouragement of their words, and I even would hear them say, well, maybe we just better just give up. Oh no, oh no, don't give up. Don't give up. Because I believe that God has a better thing. I'm not going to tell you that the circumstances of this life are necessarily going to get better. When Israel went out of Egypt, their circumstances didn't necessarily get a whole lot better as they went out.
That's right.
They did go out victorious, yes they did. But it didn't take them long to see that all that maybe they thought, maybe they had raised up some false expectation of how good things were going to be once they got out of Egypt. And all of a sudden, they weren't all that good. They weren't all that good. God began to lead them. And I believe with all my heart that had it not been for their own stubborn hard-heartedness and stiff backs, that they could have gotten to the promised land in just a few days. But instead, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But I don't want us to dwell on that right now. Let's dwell on this scripture. Because when you and I need, in the day we live in, we don't need platitudes. We don't need sound bites. We need to go to God's Word and see how that He has consistently throughout time. He has consistently shown to His people the strength of Himself, not their strength, not their strength. We need not, or as we say up in East Tennessee, we need to. We need to think that God is going to strengthen us to the point where that all of a sudden we're just going to flourish in the earth as a number of people. But brothers and sisters, we might. But I say to you that if we can come to the place what I believe that the dear children of Israel came to in this time that I've read to you here, then we can see maybe some things that I believe they saw. When the house of Jacob went out of Egypt. You know, I use this illustration sometimes. There's a movie that's been on, I didn't see it at the movies, I've seen it on television a number of times, called The Ten Commandments. Y'all can see this scene in your mind if you've seen that movie. This whole gaggle of folks was, you know, goats running all over the place and chickens scurrying and little children just moving back and forth. That wasn't how it was. That's Hollywood's version. It was orderly. It was orderly. They went out in a brace, the Bible says, or something to that effect. That means to me, I'm in my military experience, I understand what that means. They went out as though they were marching in an orderly fashion, in a movement of troops, so to speak. It was not disorderly. It was not helter-skelter, but it was an orderly thing as they moved out according to God's command. And brothers and sisters, let me say this before I go any farther. You and I still today are under God's command to move out in an orderly fashion, not a disorderly. We are to maintain, I believe, the order of the old church that God has given to us. Brother Tim, I believe, was talking about the word primitive, and it means one thing to some people and one thing to another. Are we the formative church? Are we the ones that we believe are continuing in the old line and the old paths? Then we ought to continue in those things. And we ought to continue in that line. That's not to say that we need to get persnickety in our ways, but we do need to understand that if we believe we're the church, and I want to assure you one thing, I believe we are.
Right.
I believe we are. If I didn't, I wouldn't have made such a move, a drastic move as I made about a year ago. I believe that we're the church of the living God. I believe there's some good people, some good, well-meaning and dear folks, dear children of God even, among other orders. Right. But brothers and sisters, we're not there. We're here. And we're here to maintain, I believe, because we believe that God has put us in a brace, so to speak, and that we're to march out and to march against the troubles of the day, not to believe that we can raise up some weapon of our own to fight against it, but to realize this, as Brother Paul said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Here we find, brothers and sisters, that Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language. I love the words of God's word.
Amen.
Sometimes you read something, you wonder, well, what's that mean? Well, good grief, they'd been down there over 400 years. They knew what the Egyptian language sounded like. But they knew how to speak it, no doubt. They probably spoke it fluently. I'll just almost guarantee you that the Egyptians didn't learn how to speak Hebrew.
Right.
So they'd learned the language of Egypt. That's not what this means. It means, I believe, that all through that time, God's dear children heard the language of Egypt, and it grated on their minds, and it grated on their hearing, and it grated on their hearts. Don't you feel yourself to be that way sometimes today? When we hear the things going on around us, and they seem to just oppress our very souls. I don't mean to be dramatic, brothers and sisters, but I tell you, I get caught up in these things sometimes, and I begin to think, oh, we need to do this, and we need to do that. Brothers and sisters, we need to remember that we serve a mighty God. One who was able to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of that land where it began to grate, even the language of it began to grate and began to oppress their very souls. I want you to know they were happy to get out of that place. Happy. God began to show them as they went out that Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. I read some of the good brethren that like to write commentaries and have for a long time, and they went a whole different direction than this that I'm going to go this morning. They said that was proof that, God favored Judah over Israel, that favored the one tribe of Judah and Benjamin over the 10 tribes of the northern tribes. I don't believe that's what he's talking about at all. Judah was his sanctuary. What does that mean? The word sanctuary means a place of holiness. Now, what it's telling us, I believe, is that God had chosen Judah. And he hadn't just chosen Judah in a natural sense. I know that we can go through all kinds of things, and I don't have time to do that, to show that God did favor Judah, no doubt. But brothers and sisters, if we don't get a spiritual meaning out of the Bible, I'll say something very brash. If it's just a literal lesson, that's not enough for me.
Thank you. It's not enough.
Amen. I've got to get something spiritual out of it, Brother Joe. I've got to get something that causes me to say, wait a minute, yes, there's some good practical words in here. There's some good practical things that we can follow as God's people. But brothers and sisters, the truth of it is that we don't do it most of the time. But I'll tell you what, when we can see and read and meditate upon God's word and see that he is a God of power and strength and might, then we've got something to hold on to. Then we've got something to remember. Judah was his sanctuary. What did the children of Israel, as they were there in the land of Egypt? And I'm going to try to not go too far with this, but they no doubt remembered. I believe word was passed by word of mouth. You and I have the record of it because the Holy Spirit caused Brother Moses, I believe, to write these first five books of the Bible, but they'd heard it by the ear. What had they heard? They said, oh, Father Jacob, when he was about to pass from this life, gathered all of his sons and began to bless them, began to speak to them. And when he got down to number 4, Judah, the blessing by nature and by tradition should have gone to the firstborn son. But I don't have time, but some, you brethren know why it didn't. Reuben, no, he wasn't going to get it. Simeon and Levi, no, they weren't going to get it. It came down to number four, to Judah. And listen to what the Lord, the Spirit says to us, and that these are the words of Jacob to Judah. Listen, he says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Judah was his sanctuary. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? Listen, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. Till when? Until Shiloh come. And unto who? Judah? No, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Brothers and sisters, Judah was his sanctuary. Not because Judah was a well-deserving son. Not because the tribe of Judah was so far head and shoulders above all the other tribes. But it was because, according to the word of God, he had made a promise that in Judah was his sanctuary. And his sanctuary is Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that. His sanctuary is Jesus Christ. And he's our Lord today. He's the one to whom we can go. He's the one to whom, when all the cares of this life seem to just tumble down upon us and oppress our very souls, we have a Savior. He's a mighty Savior. He brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with a raised up hand of power and of strength and of victory. And he's not going to be defeated.
That's right.
Not going to be defeated. And I'll say this. As long as this earth continues, I believe with all my heart that his church will be somewhere in the earth.
Right.
And there'll be a little band of people somewhere. Oh, it won't be spectacular. There'll be a little band of people somewhere seeking to serve the Lord in simplicity. And I like to think they'll be singing and praying and preaching.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all we need. Singing, praying, preaching. All right. Judah was his sanctuary. I believe that the children of Israel, the dear children of Israel, as they came out of that land of oppression, had a hope that had been placed in them by the Lord, that he was going to make good on the promises that he had given unto them. And Israel, his dominion. I know that there are some folks, and I guess there's some old Baptists who believe that there's still some future glory for the nation of Israel. But brothers and sisters, I personally don't believe that. And I believe that the glory of Israel is to be found in the church of Jesus Christ today, in the day we live in. Now, sometimes when I say that, I see a look of puzzlement in folks' face. I'm not talking about here, other places. And they get a puzzled look on their face. And I know what they're thinking. Are you telling me that that little number, that little old church on this building, on this meeting house on the side of the road, with just a few little old souls in it, you're going to tell me that's the glory of God? Yes. Yes, I'm going to tell you it is. When we have met together to worship God in spirit and in truth, I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, it is the glory of Israel. And Israel is his dominion. It's where his strength is. It's where those who will subject themselves to him are. You know, that's what the word dominion means. You know, lots of people like to think about this whole world is going to be, is now, or some believe will be one day, under his dominion. Well, it is under his dominion.
That's right.
And yet, the essence of this thing is not the whole world. The essence of this thing, Israel, his dominion, means those brothers and sisters who have made themselves subject to his rule and power and authority. By that I mean in their everyday lives now. I'm not talking about in an eternal sense. He's done that work, we know. But Israel is his dominion. When we think about that dominion, I'm drawn so many times to the vision that Brother Daniel had. He had many, and they were good. Some of them were a little troubling. Well, they all were a little troubling, to tell you the truth. But this one I especially love in the 7th chapter of Daniel, where he says this, starting at verse 13, I saw in the night visions. And behold, listen, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And this next little word is not just a casual word thrown in. And there, listen, and there was given him dominion and glory.
That's right.
And a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. He's not talking about some earthly kingdom to be set up here to exercise dominion over the whole world. He's talking, brothers and sisters, I believe with all my heart, he's talking about the church of Jesus Christ and God's people who have subjected themselves, made themselves subject to his dominion as we walk here in this life and enter into the joys of serving the living God. There's his dominion. Oh, when Israel went out of Egypt, God, I believe, gave them these great scenes. And in those scenes, brothers and sisters, there was a great hope, I believe, for God's people. I say some of you brethren can take that up past if you want to and talk about all the things that happened out there in the wilderness. Yes, they did. But I'll tell you something. Some of God's people entered into Canaan, didn't they?
That's right.
There were some adults, Joshua and Caleb, and there was all those under the age of 20 years, and they entered in to reap the promises that God had made in a natural sense. And I'll go even farther to say this, and I may get myself in hot water with this one. I believe they entered in not to a type of heaven's glory, but into a type of the fellowship of the church of Jesus Christ. When they entered into Canaan's land, I love my granddaddy. I can still see him standing and leading. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land. Tears that start rolling down his cheeks. And I believe that he was looking to heaven when he sang that song. And I didn't know any better. And I'm not speaking bad of Papa, but I'm just telling you, brothers and sisters, that heaven is not Canaan's land. I believe Canaan's land is the church. And in the church we have those things. We're eating the good things that God has planted.
That's right.
We're eating those things. We're partaking of those things. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of a strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. Listen to the poetic language here. Listen to the power of God being displayed. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. You know, you can read about the Red Sea being parted and the Jordan River being parted. This brother that wrote this psalm says it very simply. The sea saw it. Saw what? Saw the power of God displayed in his people as they walked in obedience to him. Saw the manifestation of his power in the fulfillment of the promises that he had made unto his dear people. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams and the little hills like lambs. What ail thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan that wast driven back? Ye mountains that ye skipped like rams and ye little hills like lambs? Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Brothers and sisters, this earth ought to tremble.
Amen.
Not this natural earth, but this earth.
Right.
Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord. I felt his presence here today,
yes,
in the singing. And I trust as we've tried to bring just these few thoughts, that we might remember this one which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint, into a fountain of waters. He shall provide. He's the God of provision.
That's right.
He provided for his dear children among Israel and when he brought them out of Egypt, and he'll provide for us, his church in the earth today. May God bless you is my prayer. I pray these brethren will come now and that the Lord would bless them and pray for us. And come see us at Grace Church in Loudoun County, Tennessee when you can.
Amen.